The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Mock Report. It's May the 3rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dale Durkholz of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, ethanol will take center stage at the National Press Club tomorrow. And building future careers in agriculture by raising a greenhouse. I'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit finished the May contract at $4.81. Their settlement price up 1.5 cents. July futures, the harvest month, at $4.94.5, were up a penny as well. May corn futures at $3.79.75, up 7.75. July 7.25 higher at $3.89.25. And September futures at $3.87 were up 6.25 cents in the corn pit. December contract, $3.87.25. That settlement price up 7 cents. May soybean futures, $7.33.75. They were off a half or down 1/2. July futures at $7.47.75, down 3/4. August futures down 1/4 at $7.55.5. And November beans finished down 1/4 cent at $7.76.75. Bean meal futures now, the May contract, $1.94.70. Off $1.20, May bean oil at $33.17. That was up a dime for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby May feeder cattle down $2.72.5 at $106.95. June live cattle at $91.72.5, down $2.12.5. And the August futures were down $2 at $90.57.5. May lean hogs down 62.5 cents at $74.95 for the afternoon. From the outside markets, crude oil, June contract $63.22 a barrel, down 46 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,242, and it's up just about 30 points for the hour. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dale Durkholz of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dale.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this Mercantile Exchange. What happened there? Why the big losses in the cattle pits?
Boy, you know, I mean, we really cremated it. I think some of it probably emanated or started out of the rally we had in the corn market there, but I think it was basically once things started downwards, we just ended up with a lot of fun selling in the game that really seemed to press things extremely hard. Feeder's taken the big brunt of the hit there basically because of the implications of higher corn prices and what that has on feed input costs.
Boy, they must be expecting there be an awfully good rally in the corn pit at this point because we have not moved above the recent highs. And they really...
Well, the feeder market's been somewhat inconsistent, it seems like, all during the winter months itself. But, you know, of recent, we've been having some what I'll call an inverse reaction to what happens with corn. And, you know, when corn opened higher and quickly sped higher here today, that really really turned and hit the feeders especially hard there, basically because, again, of the feed input implications. But when you look across at the Fed cattle futures themselves, technically we didn't do anything positive yesterday, and when you opened a little bit lower this morning and gapped lower, quickly went down below the 10-day moving average, and that set off some local selling on the floor, and then you quickly got into some more selling from the big funds themselves, and I think that's basically the name of the game, and that's why we ended up down so hard. I don't know that it's really anything that's tremendously negative on a longer-term perspective, because I don't see a big downside in Fed cattle prices here in the interim, and we've got a pretty good discount in futures right now compared to where the cash market is.
We better talk about the corn pit. They had a gap higher this morning on the open and managed to maintain that throughout the day.
Yeah, they did. Settled off right at the end of the day there. Well, actually, about the noon hour on, started disratcheting backwards, and it seemed as time wore on after we hit that peak there around shortly after the noon hour that pressure kept getting a little bit stronger. The thing that kind of bothers me with the corn market at this point, you know, and we're playing really nothing more than a weather game. I mean, that's been the name of the game here of recent, is that which way is the weather really going to power things? Which way is the weather going to make the market go here today? You know, we came in on Monday and everybody said, well, it was going to be a good week. And, you know, then things turned up because all the weather forecasters turned and changed their outlooks about what lay ahead. And that stayed with us in here today. But, you know, we've had a pretty good run. I think we probably saw a little bit of profit taking start to get into the mix there during the day. And, you know, I think everybody's still a little bit anxious, a little bit concerned about this weather parameter because, yes, we are behind on planting, but typically markets and traders don't tend to get too alarmed until we get past middle May, and we still got a little bit of while to go there. But technically, you look at it, the thing that bothers me here at the close today is that, you know, we quickly pushed above the high we had in place last week, but we couldn't hold that at the close. And so you really wonder what kind of footing this market's on yet.
We've done some discussion over the past couple of days about the amount of volume that's been taking place at the Chicago Board of Trade. It's been light or relatively light in some of these moves. How about today?
Well, it didn't look to be extremely heavy here today. I think, you know, it started out here this morning with a spate of more short covering, and then once we kicked out and kept pushing up into some new highs, you probably ran into some more of that. I don't know that we've got a lot of new buying going on in this rally yet, and that's what we really need to sustain any gains for any length of time. The other thing that I'm aware of, and I think producers need to be aware of, is that as we get right towards the end of the month of May, we have a 20-week cycle low in corn due, and you keep looking at that wondering, is something going to happen to flip-flop the weather on me here somewhere over the next week and basically make the trade breathe a sigh of relief and think, okay, it's a little late, but we're still going to get the corn in the ground on respectable time and just let the air out of the bag.
Tell me, what is it, because most of our analysts at this point, while we do have rallies, have seemed to take all the bullish attitude out of their discussion and either are talking about a neutral market or a market that probably will trend lower. I suppose that would be a seasonal sort of thing to happen. But why is that the case and we don't discuss ethanol anymore?
Well, I think the big thing that happened there, when we had that big acreage number, I mean that all of a sudden, you know, changed the parameters of the game. And, you know, when you look ahead to a week from tomorrow, the USDA is going to put out their quote-unquote first new crop supply demand estimate.
Yeah, the WASDE figures.
You know, I think a lot of people are sitting here now going, that's probably going to be looking at an ending stock somewhere around 1.2 to 1.3 billion bushel. So either we've got to trim back acres from what the March 30 planting report told us, or we've got to do something to really crimp yield potential. And even when you plant a crop late, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to have some negative repercussions on yields. It only raises the risk that could happen. So, you know, I think everybody's looking at that new crop supply-demand outlook there at some point and going, you know, it might still be comfortable, and so they're really still waiting for the market to prove it that I need to change my supply-demand structure and start tightening this up once again. And, you know, now where we're at here, it's either got to come from an extreme delay in planting, which we aren't there yet, or it's got to come from something to do with summer weather. And I think basically at this point, in my attitude, the corn market's in neutral. You know, I don't see anything really bullish, really bearish, but we're swinging in a wide range. But given the price level we're at, things happen in big ranges, too.
You know, comfortable, but with a big crop. But it seems to me that they're not talking so much about demand or increasing demand. Is the idea there now that all the ethanol plants, or a good portion of them, that are going to be put up or start in the next or start up in the next 8, 10, 12 months are already in place?
Well, I think at this point, you know, the anxiousness when you shift back earlier in the winter, you know, and we were focused on demand and the pace of construction of new plants, was that everybody wasn't sure we were going to get the necessary increase in acreage we really needed to get to meet that potential demand. And I think that concern was there also in the annual forum, the Outlook meeting USDA had right at the beginning of March. They used an ethanol number for the new crop year of 3.2 billion bushel. Personally, I think that's quite a bit light, and given the break in the market we've had here and the rally in gasoline, I think there's every reason that we're going to see these ethanol plants continue to come on board as fast as they can get them completed, which argues I think we're probably a 3.5, 3.6 billion bushel number for ethanol grind for next year. But that's all kind of uncertain at this point yet. But if you take and you put that, then all of a sudden you bring your ending stocks back under a billion. And when you do that, it says, okay, we're really putting pressure. We need to have good weather and good yield. So I think right now we're just in a period of breather, and everybody's trying to get a sense of what lies ahead yet, both on the supply and the demand side. I don't think there's a lot of certainty on either side.
So let's call it neutral. Does that mean your cash and future strategies are both neutral and just stay put on the sidelines?
Well, I think it in the old crop, you know, at this point, you know, it's coming down to a game that you've got to recognize at this point, that the time I have left to market a crop is really starting to get tight on me. You know, and I'm now looking ahead to where, you know, I've got 4 months in here, but if we continue this neutral game in here through the month of May, you know, I get down to 3 months, and I got to start deciding how much of this old crop I want to carry into summer, you know. And I think, you know, if you're carrying a whole crop, you know, I think that's, or a good portion of the crop, something over half, you know, I mean, you got to a certain degree all your eggs in one basket. New crop, you got more time to play with, because yes, you know, as well as having pre-harvest type period in here, you've also got that post-harvest period. And I think that given the overall structure, that, you know, there are going to be marketing opportunities for new crops, so I'm not quite as anxious for that as I would be an old crop necessarily.
We've kind of gotten used to the old crop falling out of bed at the end of July into August. I think part and parcel of that is because loans are due and corn starts moving out of the LDP and programs into some of those other things. Expectations this year will be different because of the higher prices last fall?
The loan thing is a non-entity anymore. I think the real key, you know, when you get into the late summer period in the marketplace is going to be, tell me the weather, you know, and that's going to be the key, you know.
My question was that you've gotten used to watching those prices just sort of drop at the end of July because of that. Would you guess that might be different this year, and that it might be more weather-related than supply-related?
Oh, I think it definitely is going to be weather-related. I have no fear about that at all, especially when we're looking at an ending stocks carryout that you know, is well underneath a billion bushel at this point, so we don't have that kind of pressure to play off in the market. So, you know, as we go into summer, the market isn't going to be as concerned about old crop supply-demand balances as it's going to be what kind of new crop are we going to have. That's the story, you know. That's going to continue to be the story at this point.
And one other question, then, and we'll finish the conversation up. Let's switch to wheat, because on May the 11th, when the USDA releases those World Outlook Board, the WASD numbers are also take their first stab at the size of the wheat crop. What do you say?
Boy, you know, there's a lot of things being painted by this. The Informa, they've put out a number that's just over 1.6 billion bushel. My own personal perspective, I think the winter wheat estimate that they will release on a week from Friday. He's going to be somewhere around 1.55, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Okay,
so
Dale.
I'm a little bit underneath where they are.
All right. We appreciate you being with us.
Good talking to you.
Hey, Dale Durkles is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. At least Dale or Dan Zwick or one of the two of them from that office. At the bottom of the hour, Ag meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. AM 580's Mike Sola forecast for tonight across the two-state region says in Illinois and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms as well. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy lows, says Mike, ranging from 46 in the north to 63 in the far south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 60 along the Chicago lakefront to 75 in the south. Tomorrow, wind speeds up around 5 miles an hour in the south to about 20 in the north. The minimum afternoon relative humidity ranging between 45% in northeastern Indiana to 75% in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast calls for scattered showers, a few thunderstorms to continue right on through Friday with the greatest coverage to the south. A few areas could receive some rain well into the weekend. In the next few days, some planting will progress in the northern portions of Illinois and Indiana, but rainfall will keep field work at a standstill in the south.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Would you like to TiVo our agricultural broadcasts? You can do so with AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. Listen to all our shows at your convenience. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and subscribe to the shows of your choice, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, and Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
A couple of news notes for the afternoon. Green fuel is to be featured at the National Press Club. The Indiana Racing League's change to ethanol has the attention of the National Press Club's Distinguished Luncheon Speaker Series. Racing legend Bobby Rahal and Tony George, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the CEO and founder of the Indiana Racing League, or the Indy Racing League, IRL, will be the featured guest at the club Friday. That's tomorrow. They'll discuss the greening of racing. Ethanol powers the Indianapolis 500. For the first time this year, the 500 will use 100% fuel-grade ethanol. The decision to switch to ethanol follows in the IndyCar Series long history and tradition of race-bred technology and safety innovation, says the IRL. Many of these innovations are incorporated into passenger vehicle designs. An example, in 1911, the first rearview mirror was used in the Indianapolis 500 as an aid to driver safety. Now the series is at the forefront of the green of racing as the first in motorsports to embrace a renewable fuel source. Something may be missing in our greenhouses. A growing body of research suggests that silicon boosts yield and protects plants from toxicity and fungal diseases. This means silicon may reduce the need for plant growth regulators and disease control pesticides. Unfortunately, modern greenhouse production methods have often eliminated conventional earth as a growth medium, and with that, eliminated silicon, a mineral naturally found in most soils. So, scientists with the Agricultural Research Service, the ARS, say greenhouse growers might do well to add silicon back in their natural nutrient applications, irrigations, or potting mixes. Over the past 3 years, horticulturalist Jonathan France and plant pathologist Jim Loke with the ARS Greenhouse Production Research Group in Toledo, Ohio, and others have studied a silicon uptake in a variety of ornamentals. X-ray analysis has shown that some of these plants, like the impatiens and marigold and zinnia, accumulate silicon in significant concentrations in unique cells in their leaves. The researchers say they want to see which crops put nutrients where they are most useful to the plant. Well, speaking of greenhouses, the Mahomet School District here in Champaign County is fundraising to add a greenhouse to its hard asset base. The school will use the structure to give hands-on training to future horticulturalists. It's one of many careers available in the wide and varied agricultural industry. Demand, of course, is building across the globe for experienced agronomists and horticulturalists. Those interested in supporting the Muhammad Greenhouse should contact the school district. Those wanting to know more about future careers in ag should contact the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences right here on the University of Illinois campus. Or you can simply contact me for more information about both of those projects. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now to take a look at the cash grain market, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it looks like probably there's been a lot of planting that took place in the last week. How far along do you think they are in your area?
Well, right here in the Lexington area, I think everybody's, three-quarters to finished to done. You don't have to go very far, though, north and east to run into a lot slower progress than that. If you go south and west, it seemed like there's probably more people done. I've got probably as many customers that would like to see a half inch of rain as those that wouldn't right now, I think.
I would think that would be the case. When I talked to my brother in Logan County just this morning, they said they wrapped up yesterday. I was in Forest, Illinois for a ball game last night, or actually the night before. What is it? Wednesday night, I guess. That's Wednesday night, and fields there weren't planted, so there's a lot yet to do in the marketplace. And farmers probably maybe ought to be thinking when they're down off those tractors about some of their marketing for old crop corn at this time.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you've got your amounts down to a level that you said you're willing to carry into the summer growing season, I think that's fine. But if you are a little bit heavier on ownership than you'd like to be, I think this is probably a good opportunity here to move some. We have seen bases continue to improve some. Now, on the corn, the bases is getting back to some average levels. We made the switch here last week from, versus of May to versus of July.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting to some pretty average levels from, what was well below average. On the soybean, our bases is just trying to get back to, minimal levels, it seems like. We're improving, but it's going awful slow, and we're still not at real good levels.
2 days of rallies. Usually you try to make some sales on rallies, but farmers sometimes get greedy. You think there'll be a continuation, or should they go ahead and pull the trigger?
Well, I guess it depends on the situation, like I said. If they're wanting to get something done here fairly quickly, I think you go into it. I've always wanted to been that I don't necessarily like to do, either all or none, but, make some incremental sales and, get some of it taken care of anyhow.
I didn't talk very much about soybeans at all, really, with Dale earlier in the conversation, but while there was a pretty good run in the corn pit and they managed to stay at least in the nearby May contract at a gap higher, the bean action was actually an outside down day. What'd you make of that?
Well, there wasn't a lot of volume in the soybeans, so I'm not sure I want to put a lot of emphasis on that. But beans for the week have really had a pretty good week here. I think I looked this morning at one point, we were up there about 15 cents higher than last Friday's close. So
mm-hmm.
We've had a pretty decent week. I think as long as we can hold a positive week, I think we'll be okay.
Your bids for the day?
Cash corn is $3.64 and soybean $7.
Bill, we sure appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, I'll take a look at the agricultural weather with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He's fresh off a winter wheat tour. We'll talk to him about that. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The Champaign County Sheriff's Office says this morning's accident that killed a construction worker at U.S. 45 in Savoy remains under investigation. 54-year-old Stephen Hartrick of Champaign died when the asphalt paving machine he was driving was hit from behind by a southbound box truck as it was changing from the passing lane to the driving lane at the intersection of College Park Court and 45. The crash occurred about 5:30 this morning. The sheriff's office says no tickets have been issued at this point. Many potential jurors in the Jose Padilla terrorism support case say they aren't sure who's responsible for the September 11th terror attacks. Some jurors say they don't trust the news media or U.S. government pronouncements, while others say they just don't pay close enough attention to be certain. More than 160 people have been questioned since jury selection began April 16th in Miami. A jury is expected to be seated next week, with testimony to begin May 14th. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich accepted gifts valued at more than $500 last year from a contributor who's now under a felony indictment. The Daily Herald reported today that Blagojevich's economic interest statement indicates gifts from Amrish and Anita Mihajan of Chicago. Mihajan is under indictment for allegedly overbilling the state $2 million from state-contracted drug tests. Mihajan attorney Steve Miller declined comment. More than 150 business owners in the Champaign area have signed on to a partnership started up by the county's Chamber of Commerce. The electricity co-op secured its lower rate last week, giving businesses an alternative to higher electric bills resulting from the end of Illinois' rate freeze. Chamber CEO Laura Weiss says members should see an average savings of just over 7%, with total savings of just over $1.1 million. Members include a car wash, city governments, and churches. And a new kind of voting could come to municipal elections in Urbana. Daryl Cruz wants to start up an instant runoff system where voters would rank all the candidates by preference and first place votes would be tallied. If no candidate wins a majority, second place votes, third place votes, and so on would be counted to find the majority winner. Cruz says the system gives new relevance to third party candidates. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here and around the globe by Peter Levitt, who's just returned from a winter wheat tour. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about that.
Okay. I just got in within the last hour, so I'm not going to be up much on global weather, but let's talk about the wheat tour. The wheat tour covered the states of southern Nebraska, eastern Colorado, Kansas, and Oklahoma. I spent most of my time in Colorado, Kansas, and a piece of Oklahoma looking at the crop, and the interest this year was on what happened with regard to that freeze earlier in April and how much freeze damage was there and what impact it will have on the crop. So let's start out by looking at Kansas particularly, because that's where we're going to have a really good crop. Now, we don't know exactly what the original crop would have been without the freeze, but the best estimate we can make is that it was probably going to be over 500 million bushels. That compares with last year's production of 291 million bushels. So you can see that this was going to be a banner year. The freeze came Easter weekend, and it covered most of central Kansas, the central three districts of Kansas, and parts of northwest Kansas, and eastern Kansas, but they don't grow very much wheat in eastern Kansas. But it did miss west central, southwest Kansas, and much of northwest Kansas was missed. And this is very important because normally the big producing counties in the middle of the state, they were hurt and will be damaged. But when we got through most of the fields, it looked like the damage was confined pretty much to the central counties of the central district of Kansas, counties like Saline, McPherson, Dickinson, Marion, maybe parts of Harvey, Rice counties, Ellsworth counties. Here there was significant damage and crop losses are probably substantial in that area. This will take the yield down quite considerably. However, the producing areas of western Kansas, which normally are light producers, particularly west central and parts of northwest, are going to have one of their best years ever this year from what we can see, unless they get hailed out or some disaster happens in the next month or so. They're going to produce very good yields, and it's going to compensate largely for what happened in central Kansas. So as a result, we don't think the loss is quite as severe as people were anticipating earlier. Now, having said all that, the tour consensus was looking for a crop production of about 375 to 408 million bushels for Kansas, which I think is a little low. They had no way of knowing what it would have been without the freeze, because we haven't seen a number. We won't see that till next week, the first estimate number. So my guess is that it's probably going to be somewhat higher than that, probably up around 440 million bushels. And so that won't be so bad, and I think that people are overestimating the impact of the freeze. Then looking peripherally, you have the eastern Colorado is going to have one of their best crops. There was no bad fields that we saw there. They had 80 million bushels last year. They'll do 160 this year, I think. Oklahoma, even though they're having some tough problems with disease and partial freeze damage in the north, it'll be made up for a much better crop in the southwest. So that should be about 160 million bushel producer. So all in all, we don't think that the wheat problems were as great as been discussed earlier.
Okay, you've got 10 seconds. Give me a quick synopsis of the weekend for the Midwest.
That's the big one. The window of opportunity for planting is about closed. Showers are moving into the western portions of the Corn Belt. It will be wet tonight, tomorrow night in Iowa. Some of that will spill over into Illinois, southern Illinois on Sunday. But there's more rain on the way for Iowa during the early part of next week, and looking even further ahead, we don't see any dry spells in sight. So it looks like those way behind fields are going to stay way behind as far as planting is concerned, especially Western Corn Belt.
We appreciate it much, Pete, and thanks for the weed update.
Right.
Pete Levitt joins us each and every Thursday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's been out hunting wheat this week, and he's done that for many years, so he knows from where he speaks. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for a first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason.